Then he started into me about this AA deal. He said it's the remedy for what's wrong with us. And he said, between ourselves, it is the only remedy. The only remedy. It's a remedy for what's wrong with us because God is there. A power greater than ourselves. He said, the remedy will never work as long as you're thinking what you're thinking while you're kneeling here right now. As long as you think that you're a terrible sinner. As long as you think that you could have controlled all this and not done all this stuff that you've done under the influence of your disease. As long as you think that you're a sinful, wicked, perverse, horrible human being needing God's merciful forgiveness to save you from hell, you will never get well. Your first step to getting well is to believe what I'm telling you right here, right now. There is no single sin in all this from start to finish. Because you're programmed to be the self-destructive jackass that you are. Because of your disease. I guess you know that when Catholics go to confession, they get a penance to do, a few prayers to say. Now he said, for your penance, he said, you're not getting absolution. There's nothing to absolve. And I thought, oh God, oh God. Don't let me die tonight. You know, the big book talks about we stood at the crossroads. I knelt at the crossroads. Will I believe this jackass or won't I? He said, for your penance for this lot, you're not getting 3 Hail Marys or 3 rosaries. For your penance, you get your ass to an AA meeting this very night, and I'll take you. And he did. And here I've been ever since. I wish I'd left myself time to tell you what it's been like being with you. God, what a trip. Simply fantastic. Utterly, utterly unbelievable. I'll tell you just one thing about it, and then I'll go home. Because it's all I came out from the West Coast to tell you. You're not going to believe it, but that's your problem. I don't give a damn. Very detached. When I came to this fellowship, to this program, I got me a sponsor, like they all tell you. And my sponsor told me, now, okay. He wouldn't be my sponsor until I bullied him into it. He said, he had no religion, which is the kind of guy I wanted, somebody ordinary, for God's sake, an ordinary human being, instead of the hothouse type I've been with all my life. He said, aren't you the Roman Catholic priest? Yeah, I said, but don't hold that again. Oh, God, he said, I couldn't touch you. You're beyond me. This was a guy who had been in a penitentiary. He had taken human life. He had a temper. That's the guy I wanted. He had a temper. I want to know how you do it, I said. How do you do it? Okay, he said, well, you call me twice a day, you read the big book, and you come to meet us. And we'll see about you taking the steps. After a while, he said to me, well, did you read the big book? Yeah. I read it up to the stories. Did you read the chapter of the agnostic? I said, Richard, you know the job. Did you read the chapter? No, I said, I didn't. Well, read the thing, he said. And I did, and this is all I want to tell you. Richard said to me, now before you read that chapter, he said, a smart ass like you will miss the whole of what's there in that chapter. Because you know too much. That's what's wrong with you. You'll say to yourself, the minute you see that this is for agnostics, you're going to say to yourself, oh, now, they're going to try to prove to me that there's a God. That is not what that chapter is trying to do at all. But as long as you think it is, you'll never see what it's trying to do. That chapter is not trying to prove to you and me that there's a God. It's trying to do something immeasurably more wonderful. It's trying to get you and me to make a slight little adjustment, which will make it possible for God to prove to me that there is a God. That's all. You don't prove to you that there's a God. You're too damn stupid. You couldn't. It's too big a deal. Only God can prove to you that there is a God. But he only can if you, on your part, make it possible for him to do it. And what making it possible for him to do it means is what they're spelling out there in that chapter. The whole chapter is drawing our attention to an awful simple fact, that we live in a wonderful world. So, wonder, that's all. Wonder. And it is wonderful. You sow a seed in the ground and a flower grows. That's wonderful, you know. If the damn thing jumped up as soon as you patted the ground down, you'd jump sky high. But the mere fact that it comes up very, very gradually and slowly doesn't make it any less wonderful. The thing is wonderful. It makes you wonder, how the hell does that happen? Birds lay eggs, and the eggs become birds and fly away. That is rather wonderful. Men and women do what men and women will always do sooner or later. And 9 months later, we have a new human being walking around. That is rather wonderful. You do wonder. When you get the alcohol out of your system, you wonder. It's worse than Disneyland. It really is. So wonder. You look at other things where there's war and cruelty and stupidity and starvation and torture and pain and cancer and violence. And you say, how can there be a God when that stuff is going on? You wonder. That's all. Wonder, please, wonder. 1 minute you're looking at something and you're saying, oh, well, maybe there is. Maybe there is a God. But maybe means maybe there isn't. You look at again at something else and say, ah, maybe there isn't. And maybe there isn't means maybe there is. How do you get off that treadmill? How do you get off it onto firm ground where you say, I know there is. I know. I know. I know. How? He tells you how. He tells you how. This is the most fantastic 4 or 5 little sentences in the whole of literature. For God's sake, listen to it. We finally came to see that faith in some kind of God had to become part of our makeup. But how? We had to search fearlessly. And Richard looked at me with a beady eye and he said, does that remind you of any step? We had, oh yeah, I said the fourth step. Brilliant, he said, keep coming back. We had to search fearlessly, but he was there. Where? Where? We found the great reality in big, big capitals. We found the great reality deep down within our own selves. In the last analysis, it is only there he can be found. And when found, he was as much a fact as we ourselves were. Are you listening to those sentences? I'm pretty sure that I'm a fact, that I didn't dream myself up. Sometimes I've doubts about you lot. But I'm pretty sure that I myself am a fact. And here's this thing here telling me that I can be as sure that God is a fact as I am that I am a fact myself. That is rather sure. How do you get to be that sure? You take your fourth step. That's how. You get in touch with what's deep down within your own self. And what is it that's deep, deep down there? The ultimate roots whereby we tick over. You get in touch with the bright side, the good. and you get in touch with the dark side, or what we call euphemistically our character defects. That means with those areas of our lives where we experience powerlessness. My powerlessness to stop wanting to drink or drug. My powerlessness to be content and happy with my lot in life and not cuss it or just endure it. My powerlessness to be actually to enjoy it. My powerlessness over my resentments, my hates, my spites. My powerlessness to stop wanting to change other people, to make them have attitudes to me that I want them to have. My powerlessness to. My powerlessness over my ambition, over my avarice, over my lusts. My powerlessness in 1,000 areas of my life. But what do I do about all that? What do I do about what I can do nothing about? You start saying, are you there? Are you there? Or are you just a myth or the greatest mistake the human race ever made? Are you real? I hope you are. I want you to be real. I really, really do. I really want you to be really, really real. I don't want you to be not to be at all. Because, my God, that would mean I'm the only one to do anything about all this mess that I can do nothing about. Because I want finished with this mess. I really do. I've had enough. Don't laugh. I want to become humble. I want to be. Because something tells me that it's only humble people who are truly happy. I want to cease to be this arrogant, scheming, grasping, domineering, impossible person. Change me, change me, change me. Please, I want you to. I truly, truly want you to. Please do. And keep on trucking. Keep on saying it. And keep on meaning it. And as sure as you do, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. It'll be awful simple. Some trivial little incident. Maybe the phone will ring some fine day, and at the other end of that wire, there'll be someone whose guts you could never stand. And you'll find yourself saying, oh, sure, that's what you want. Oh, I'd be absolutely delighted to. Yeah, sure. That's fine by me. I'd be happy to. And you hang up, and you walk halfway across the room. What the hell made me say that? God, I'm going weird. Yeah, you are. You are being changed. You don't change you. You can't. But you are being changed. You are being changed. You are being empowered to be the kind of person you're powerless to be. You are being empowered not even to want to be the kind of person you cannot stop yourself being. And when you find yourself being empowered, you know then there's a power greater than yourself. There is no other way for knowing. This God thing is not a head trip. That's what the people think in the Roman university. It is not a head trip at all. It is a guts trip. It is reaching bottom. It is finding yourself utterly powerless and saying, God, are you there? I want you to be. Rescue me. And meaning it. I want to tell you, when you find yourself enjoying being this other, totally different person, and yet the person that in your heart of hearts you've always longed to be. When you find yourself enjoying being this other kind of person, then you know this mysterious power that's palpable, that's tangible, is a loving, loving power. When I was a little kid, I did play in the backyard once or twice with the other kids. And I got my clothes all torn, and I got dirty and messed up. And I came into the kitchen to my mother as I knew her before her drinking days. And she'd look at me and say, "What have you been doing to yourself?" And she'd take me and clean me up and make me feel lovely and rosy and innocent and clean and comfortable again. That's how I found out that my mother loved me. I didn't work it out with pencil and paper. She cleaned up my mess. She made me feel good. That's how I have found out God loves me. He's real. I was right when I was a child, but I just didn't know how to relate to him. When I came to this program, this is what you're not going to believe. I did not believe in God. I had never believed in God. Never. Because if you had said to me in all my drinking years, "This God that you preach about so eloquently, could he make you stop wanting to drink?" If I was honest, I'd have to say, "Don't talk nonsense. Me stopping wanting to drink would no longer be me. This God that you talk about, could he make you content and happy with your humble little lot in life, not being a brilliant professor? Could he make you happy?" Don't talk nonsense. No way. I didn't believe that there was anybody who could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. I did not believe in God. I do today. And I want to tell you this. When you're in the job I'm in, it does help to believe in God. And what I'm supposed to say to people who have given me all I have ever wanted since I was a little child. Imagine what it's like to lose the love of your life and to stumble in somewhere and find it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.